You're listening to 2A Radio with Bill Carnes.
Well, good morning, everyone. I just wanted to let you know that for the remainder of this week, I will be gone. I'll be in California training with Chuck Taylor, the original Four Weapons Combat Master and original Handgun Combat Master himself. Several of us have been training with Chuck over the last few years, and a couple of us even certified by him as a Handgun Combat Master. So we're going to a class there. We'll be in the Bakersfield area, going there, doing some shooting with Chuck himself. We do this once or twice a year, usually a couple times a year. Anyhow, so that's where I'm going to be. So the rest of the week, however, I want you to know that every show this week will be a new show, because I sat around and diligently pieced together information, current topics. So every day this week, you're going to get a new show. You'll probably hear this particular qualifier before each show. This segment is probably going to be what you're hearing each time. But still, you're going to be hearing new information. We have a couple of interviews coming towards you, lots of good information that's coming at you, and you know, some things to look forward to. You know, we're going to talk about different calibers that people have asked about, some of the older questions and emails that we're going to get to. Four times when I anticipate not being able to do the show live. There is a certain amount of material that I will kind of collect off onto the side, put into a folder for when I need to pre-record a series of shows for whatever reason. Well, this is that occasion. I don't get to get out and train nearly as much as I used to. A lot of my training is done either by myself or with one of maybe three other people that I work with. And that's really where the training goes. So this is an opportunity I couldn't pass up. This particular event we're actually going to is actually sponsored by the lady who's actually in charge of and behind RonanTactical.com, new sponsor here of 2A Radio. So RonanTactical.com is, again, Kim from Ronan Tactical is the one that actually pieced this entire thing together for all of us. So I'm looking forward to this. I really am. As you're listening to this, we're probably out doing some training. The day starts relatively early. We get out there and we do a lot of shooting. We enjoy ourselves quite a bit. So again, the folks at Ronan Tactical, Kim at Ronan Tactical, .com is really behind this. Here is the information on Ronan Tactical. I'm going to play that for you in just a moment as soon as file comes up here. And there we go. All right, folks, RonanTactical.com, new sponsor of the 2A Radio Show. RonanTactical.com has certified concealed carry training specialists that travel to you and your group of self-protection advocates. Organize a group of friends, family, or co-workers who take their responsibility of self-protection seriously, and RonanTactical.com will send out a certified training specialist who will provide a course of instruction that will get you and your group certified to carry concealed in over 30 states while providing you, the organizer, a commission for organizing the event. Do you travel for work, family, or vacation and want to remain armed and safe when traveling? Contact RonanTactical.com for details on staying home and having one of our certified professionals travel to you to provide the training and credentials for you and your group to safely and legally carry concealed in over 30 states. Call 888-416-4809 or go online to RonanTactical.com. So there you go. Kim from Ronan Tactical is the one that put this event together. She actually handles putting things together with whenever we train with them, once or twice a year, whenever it is. Everybody who goes out to this particular training that we're going to be doing at the Handgun Combat Master and Combat level have all passed the test just prior to the Masters, which is called the Advanced Handgun Test. We've all been up to speed on that. Everything goes real well. So I'm going out there actually traveling with Dave Patton, who was the fill-in host when I was at Top Shot. So he and I are out there with several other good people. Of course, Kim from Running Tactical as well. But guys, I want you to stay tuned. There's plenty to come. Again, all new material all this week. So stay tuned in live right here at 2A Radio.
It's not an option. It's a right. Cocked, locked, and ready to rock the world of the anti-gunners. You're listening to the guy who had to register his mouth as a full auto weapon. Bill Carnes and Two-Way Radio. The fight for your rights isn't for pansies. So buckle up for the ride and knuckle down with Bill Carnes and 2A Radio.
Well, this morning I would like to jump right into the listener email bag. It says, "Hey Bill, love the show." Great way to open an email to me, by the way. I just dig that. He says, "How do you feel about the 303 British round for target, game, and as a sniper round or long-distance target shots at 350 yards plus?" He says, "I have two Lee Enfield 303s, one jungle carbine, and one MK4 full-size model. Love these guns. No reason why." He says, "No good reason. It was my first rifle. I think that's the only good reason. Thanks, Joel." Well, Joel, let's talk a little bit about the 303 British. That's actually a very old cartridge. It was originally put into service at the beginning of 1889, actually December of 1888, but it got recognition in 1889, being so late in the year, as a black powder round. And not long after that, we stumbled across smokeless powder and started loading for that. And the round has gone through certain revisions and certain changes. Now, the closest thing that we have in the States to a 303 British is the 308. And it's funny because you'd think by the designation 303 that that'd be a smaller round than the 308. In fact, it's the opposite. They give different names, different numerical designations to certain cartridges that are, in fact, not exactly what they are. A 38 special is in fact not 0.38 of an inch. It's 0.357. It is the same bullet as you would find in a 357 Magnum. A 9 millimeter is in fact a little bit smaller. It is 0.355. So certain things happen with these measurements, and people call them whatever they want to call them. The American 308, which has the military designation of the 7.62 by 51 millimeter, which is pretty accurate if you actually get things measured up in millimeters. Generally, you have a little bit more accuracy in the size. But the American 308 is actually a 30 caliber cartridge, 0.300. Not 0.308, 0.300. The 303 British, on the other hand, is actually 0.311. So it is a just slightly over a hundredth of an inch fatter than the American 308, even though it's called a 303 and a 308, which would throw you off. Anyhow, it has very similar ballistic characteristics to a 308. Not quite the same punch, not quite the same flare, not quite the same distance. It's being an older designed round. It is a rimmed cartridge. It has a flare at the base of the cartridge where the rim is. It actually is wider than the body of the casing. So it has the older rimmed casing, which is just the way that extractors used to work back in the day. The 303 was also used in many different bolt guns as well as machine guns. By the way, just so you know, the difference between a machine gun and a submachine gun, and I know I cover this every now and again, but there's new listeners all the time, so I hit it again, is a submachine gun shoots a handgun caliber cartridge. A machine gun shoots a rifle caliber cartridge. It is not the size of the gun. There are rifles, there are machine guns out there that are very small and compact that shoot a 5.56 millimeter round, 223. Same thing as an AR-15 or an M16, but they're incredibly small and compact. Then you can get an AR-15 and convert it to shoot, or an M16 rather, convert it to shoot 9mm, and it would essentially be a submachine gun if it were full auto. So, it's not the size of the gun, it's the size of the round that the gun shoots. Anyhow, so my feelings on the 303. I don't have a lot of personal hands-on with the 303 British. I have some. I've never owned one, but I have fired them. And they are good. There are a lot of different weights in the bullets that can be purchased in these things that can be used. Now, keep in mind, there's a lot of mil-spec surplus ammo out there. PMC, actually, Eldorado Cartridge, out of Boulder City, that has now been defunct for the last about 3 years, I guess, they actually used to load a long-range precision 174-grain round for this at the factory. It was great stuff. You can get bullets for the 303 British from about 123 grains, which is pretty light, all the way up to a pretty darn heavy 215 grain. Now, probably the most common are about 150, 174, and 180, which are generally for hunting. You'd usually go with a 174, like boat tail hollow point, if you're going to do long range shooting with it. They are a good round. You can also hunt up to and including, if you have the right, like if you go with one of the heavier bullets, 180 grain or even heavier, up to around 200 grain, and you have the right powder that's burning at the proper rate, you can actually hunt elk, North American elk, with a 303 British. I have some 308 rounds that I have loaded up to be able to hunt elk. Why? Because I don't own an .06. I don't own a 30-06. A 30-06 is it's really kind of the ultimate North American big game round. What is the biggest game that we're going to hunt in North America? Well, the two biggest things would be buffalo and Kodiak bear. Kodiak bear being exclusive to Kodiak Island, Alaska, and is the largest bear in the world. There is a Russian bear, which is very, very close, almost identical. But the Kodiak bear is the largest. Buffalo is huge. We have large elk. Those are really the biggest thing. Moose, you could go moose. And an .06 will handle all of those very large game. You could go bigger, which would be even better. I mean, you have to be a pretty reasonable shot and have good ammo selection with an .06. Well, getting up to the lower end of those bigger animals, maybe elk being the biggest, certainly you could go brown bear, black bear, with a 303 British if you have a big, bad, heavy enough round. You want to load these things, hand load them. You don't want to go trying to get mil-spec ammo out there. It's interesting, actually, the 303 British has taken down more African elephant than any other round. Now, that's not because people really hunt with it that much. It's because when the British colonialists were trying to settle and organize the African continent back in the earlier part of the 20th century, in the 1900s, they were down there shooting elephant left and right, and that was the gun that they had, so they shot them. And a lot of them were with machine guns. So don't get confused that when I say more elephant have been taken with a 303 British, that was for gaming purposes. You know, going out on an African safari with a 303 British. That is not the case. As a matter of fact, the law throughout the continent of Africa is the smallest round that you can hunt the big five with would be a minimum of 0.375, which would enter in the 375 H&H Magnum as the smallest of the large bore, all the way up to the 600 Nitro or the 500 Lot. I have a 416 Remington Magnum, which, you know, Jim Carmichael, former shooting editor of the Outdoor Life magazine, he really crowed quite a bit about the 416 Remington Magnum. Loved it. I went into his book. I highly recommend the Book of the Rifle. If you go to Amazon.com, you can find people that have them. It's out of print, but I highly recommend it. Best rifle information book you could ever possibly read. I read it cover to cover two or three times. Just wonderful reference as well. Anyhow, the 303 British is a good round. It is, again, very similar to the 308, which is actually what replaced the 303 British in the British military. It is officially the 7.7 by 56 millimeter R for rimmed. That would be the official metric nomenclature for that particular round. Not too dissimilar from the Japanese 7.7 that they had in the Type 92 machine guns, Type 97 machine guns. It's a 7.7 by 58 Ariska is actually the British version. Anyhow, my feelings on the 303 British, it's a good round. If you happen to own something in 303 and for the historical purposes, the nostalgia, certainly go ahead and use it. Otherwise, just buy a 308 because you're going to be able to buy the rounds. You don't necessarily have to load them. There's a lot of loading information and material out there for 303 as well as 308. The 303 has been used as a sniper round. However, that really was given away to the better distance shooting of the 308. You certainly can do it. Traditionally, the 303 British snipers, the guys that would actually use that round, would sight in at about 600 yards and be able to get out as far as pushing with the long, big Enfield close to 1,000 yards, which is similar to that of a 308. 308 can actually push out to about 1,200 if you have the right gun, the right ammo. So anyhow, 303, great round. Joel, if that's what you've got and you want to load those things up and go hunting, treat it that you wouldn't shoot anything with the 303 that you wouldn't shoot with the 308. It all works out to be about the same. So there you go. I hope everybody enjoys that. There's plenty more to come. Stay tuned. We're right here. We'll be right back after these words on 2A Radio. RoninTactical.com has certified concealed carry training specialists that travel to you and your group of self-protection advocates. Organize a group of friends, family, or co-workers who take their responsibility of self-protection seriously, and RoninTactical.com will send out a certified training specialist who will provide a course of instruction that will get you and your group certified to carry concealed in over 30 states while providing you, the organizer, a commission for organizing the event. Do you travel for work, family, or vacation and want to remain armed and safe when traveling? Contact RoninTactical.com for details on staying home and having one of our certified professionals travel to you to provide the training and credentials for you and your group to safely and legally carry concealed in over 30 states. Call 888-416-4809 or go online to RoninTactical.com.
Tell everyone in the room to pipe down. 2A Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
Welcome back. I'm going to read to you one of the most ridiculous stories I have ever read in modern times. It is so unbelievable. And those of you who are pro-gun and listen to the show, obviously, will recognize this right off the bat. First of all, there are three different states that have what is called constitutional carry. That means you don't have to go get some specialized permit to put a jacket over your handgun when you walk around. That's Virginia, Alaska, and Arizona. Virginia, in fact, doesn't really have a law that says you can do it. What they do is they have a lack of having any laws on the book. Virginia doesn't really have any state laws dealing with guns. They just never bothered to pass them because the Second Amendment is so clear. So the title of this story, which really drew my attention, was Gun Laws Make Virginia a Mecca for Felons with Credit Cards. Okay, well, now already I know that whoever's writing this has no idea what they're talking about because there aren't any laws. So you can't say that there's laws. There's simply an absence of them. So it says, Virginia fancies itself a genteel place, a fact that sits uncomfortably with this. It is also one of the nation's leading gun-buying bazaars for out-of-state criminals. Okay, interesting little, okay, you know, first rule of writing, capture them with the very first statement. All right, I'm captured with your idiocy. Let's read. It says, that distinction may have been lost on many law-abiding Virginians, but not on the nation's most violent felons and misdemeanants. For them, the Commonwealth's gun shows, where criminals can purchase weapons without a background check, and its gun shops are a regular source for easy-to-get firearms. All right. Let's back up. It's a gun shows where criminals can purchase weapons without a background check. All right. Do you really think they advertise that? No. What it is you go to a gun show, you buy a gun. If it's from a licensed dealer, you have to go through a background check. That's a federal law. You go to a gun shop or a pawn shop that has a federal firearms license, well, guess what? You've got to go through a background check, the instant Brady background check. So all of this is BS. It's total garbage. All right? They're calling it easy to get firearms. I don't know why. It's the same as anywhere else. The same laws for buying a gun in Virginia are the same things that they're here in Nevada, same things in Arizona, same things in Texas. I mean, it's just you go and you buy them, you don't. If you are buying from a private party, there is no provision that says you have to go through a background check. And in fact, the states that do have those particular laws on the books will eventually have them ruled as unconstitutional because you can own, possess, and dispose of your property as you wish without government interference. Now, it says lax gun laws on the clout of the weapons lobby in Richmond are largely to blame for the state's notoriety as the nation's top weapons depot. Throwing its position astride major interstates and arteries, and the law becomes a one-stop shop for criminals with deep pockets and itchy trigger fingers. Really interesting. So how many felons do you know with credit cards in deep pockets? Consider the chilling evidence compiled in the exhaustive new report by, who is it? Mayors Against Illegal Guns, a coalition of 500 mayors co-chaired by Mayors Michael Bloomberg of New York and Thomas Marino of Boston. Formerly, it was the scuzzball doofus in Chicago. Says, let's see, in each of the past 4 years, Virginia has been the point of sale for at least 2,500 guns used in out-of-state crimes. Only Georgia has consistently outranked it. Okay. Continuing, they say, although Virginia has just 2.5% of the nation's population, last year it was the source of about 6% of the traceable gun purchases in one state and used in a crime in another. Wow. So you mean to tell me that the conclusion you're drawing from this could only be that criminals drive to Virginia, buy guns legally because you are allowed to sell guns to criminals in Virginia, and then they transport them back to their states and commit crimes. What a sack of lies. You should gargle and choke on that sack of lies. Criminals don't go out of state to buy stuff criminally unless they simply can't get something. Even then, you're not going to really see criminals leaving their own state to go buy something in another state. You're going to see them stealing it. They're criminals. They don't leave the state, do something legal, take it back to their own state, and do something illegal. You just don't see that happening. The criminal element doesn't operate like that. So to try to draw that conclusion is like the magic bullet theory. It just doesn't have any factual basis or foundation. In fact, the magic bullet theory, all it does is defy countless numbers of laws of physics. As does this, the law of physical brain capacity by you idiot MAG members. Michael Bloomberg, what a scumbag you are! You are lying, filthy, degenerate, putrid, corrupt, pile of steaming filth. And I invite you to call in at any time to debate me. I would love that. Oh, God, I'd love to put you in your billionaire place, you limousine liberal scumbag. Stay tuned, guys. More to come after the break.
You're listening to a guy who packs a gun to shoot the bad guys and packs a mic to shoot his mouth off. Bill Carnes and 2A Radio are back.
All right, guys, welcome back. We have a couple things to cover when it comes to more of these anti-gun just goofballs. They're just so far out there. First of all, I'm going to read to you a story called Guns at California Fair Trigger a Strong Reaction. It says, while a couple dozen activists with handguns holstered to their hips gathered on Manhattan Beach Boulevard on Saturday in preparation to walk the hometown fair, two friends were having lunch at the outdoor table at Hennessy's Tavern and watching. Though the women are both Republicans, they didn't see things the same way when it came to guns at the fair. Now, keep in mind, this is in the L.A. area. And the law in California is you can carry a handgun exposed as long as it's unloaded. You can have ammunition with you, just not in the gun. Okay? One says, I think it's completely inappropriate, says Molly Hibben, a 25-year Manhattan Beach resident. Manhattan Beach Hometown Fair is a family-friendly fair, and I just don't think it's appropriate walking around with guns. Okay, well, you might not think that unreasonable search and seizure is a bad idea, but the thing is, it's in the Constitution, it's a protected right. Now, although Hobbin understood that the South Bay open carry members' guns were not loaded, she nevertheless describes the display as ridiculous. Okay, well, it's nice to know that not everybody with that mindset actually rules the world, although, unfortunately, it's coming to bear really little too much. Hobbin's friend Kate Mead disagreed. She says, our U.S. Constitution gives us, it doesn't give us. Gosh. Guys, she says, it gives us the right to bear arms. It doesn't. It recognizes our God-given right at the moment of birth. The right to bear arms. It recognizes. The Constitution doesn't give us anything. Anyhow, she misappropriately says, our Constitution gives us the right to bear arms, and I think if they've got the proper safety and training or whatever it takes to get a license, I don't think it's wrong to stop them and ask for their license. Okay. Now, this is supposed to be the more conservative look. This is still left as left can be. Just consider that not all, but most of the people who would consider themselves to be highly conservative in California don't even measure up to the moderately conservative in the true conservative areas of America. It just doesn't work out. It's like Scott Brown out of Massachusetts. He's a Republican. He's a Massachusetts Republican. He's not a Texas Republican. He's not an Idaho Republican. He'd be a Democrat in either of those states. Same thing with this lady, Kate Mead. The Constitution doesn't give us anything. You don't know your history. You don't know what you're talking about. And if they've got the proper safety and training or whatever it takes to get a license, you don't need a license. It's in the Constitution. I don't think it's wrong to stop to ask them for their license. Oh, gosh. I'm just blown away with this. Continue with the story. It says, and so it was the 38th annual Manhattan Beach Hometown Fair. As well as in the days leading up to the event, as residents expressed somewhat divergent views on whether guns should be allowed at the fair. Initially, fair organizers, backed by local police, said guns were not allowed. But Harley Green, founder of the South Bay Open Carry, threatened lawsuits, which softened the Manhattan Beach Hometown Fair Association and the city's stance. Green, who organized the group in June, has staged public awareness events this summer in Hermosa Beach and Redondo Beach in the belief that the constitutional right to openly carry unloaded weapons is being chipped away at by state and federal legislation, and the fair guns and detached ammo holsters to their sides, at the fair, guns and detached ammo holstered at their sides, those group members passed out literature and spoke with anyone who would approach them. Some fair attendees supported them. Some sure didn't. Evan Johnson of Manhattan Beach was someone who didn't like seeing the guns around him at the fair. I think it shows poor judgment and poor community spirit, Johnson said. They chose this venue instead of supporting the community to create a stir, to create attention for themselves, all for a misguided purpose to show that there are rights. You have the right to go to the movie theater in a bikini, Johnson continued. It doesn't mean it's a good idea.
It's not a good idea to wear your guns to the hometown fair, no matter what your rights are.
What a pansy. 10 minutes later, two women waiting in line for Fella Fell told Green, whatever that is, I guess that's a food, told Green how much they supported him and his organization. Two women. Great. Because this other pansy, Evan Johnson...
Oh, he was scared.
If you look at our neighborhood state, our neighboring state of Arizona, people have the constitutional right to carry concealed, open carry, and loaded weapons, Green says. And there hasn't once been an instance where someone was open carrying and had been arrested for committing a crime involving a firearm. After Green and others with guns entered the fairgrounds, they met with Sergeant Mark Mason, who told them where guns were not allowed because the city had deemed areas of the fairgrounds a school zone. Later in the afternoon, a police lieutenant stopped by to thank Green and members of Open Carry for their professional behavior at the fair. Really? Wow, imagine that. Although the issue of guns at the fair was emotional for many, for attendee Tyler Payne, it was much ado about nearly nothing. He says, we're at a fair, and this is kind of like the first time this has ever happened. So it's kind of throwing people off, Payne said. But at the same time, I think it'll be fine. People are just enjoying themselves, and if they take it the wrong way, they're going to take it the wrong way. But if you just worry about yourself and who's with you, things will be fine. Okay. Couldn't agree more. So we don't have to worry about the pansies, is that right? No, we're always having to deal with the pansies. So... here is an online article that was written just about it that says, why don't open carry gun rights advocates target LA's high crime neighborhoods instead of Manhattan Beach? So now what they're doing is they're saying, well, if you're going to carry a gun, you may as well go looking for a gunfight. It's not why people carry guns. They carry guns to not be victimized. It says, ah, yes, the gun nuts who are part of the open carry movement love to show off sidearms and flaunt their rights at Starbucks, Pete's Coffee and Tea, California Pizza Kitchen, and now the Daily Breeze reports even at a family fair. I believe the Daily Breeze is a gay publication. Fair enough or not, the idea, they say, is to exercise their right to bear arms, especially in a state that seems to make it a crime to even think about guns. But if they really wanted to make a point, instead of scarring people with their lethal phallic symbols, shouldn't the open carry folks target areas that could truly benefit from the presence of scary white men with weapons? You can see where all this is going. You can see all the racist claims. You can see the gay innuendos behind it. It says, why are they instead hanging out with kids at a suburban park this weekend in Manhattan Beach? The question is inspired by our commentator of the day, Zurich, who says, I think they should try to do this at the Solosin swap meet sometime and see what happens. Manhattan Beach, ha ha, good luck. Well, now, Solosin swap meet, so you know, is the hood. It's a funny question, but seriously, we don't recommend actually trying this. It's just scumbags. So, again, we have just a radical leftist gay reporter and gay newspaper, as I understand. I understand that all of that, this Daily Breeze and all of the reporters and the staff there are same-sex sort of people. I could be wrong, but that's as I understand this from my research. So, of course, they're saying that scary white men with guns, where should they be? Oh, scary white men with guns should go to the hood and carry openly. You know, you filthy leftists, they're in the process of trying to raise awareness, not go out there and fight crime. They're not cops. They wanted to be cops, they could go be cops. Who wants to be a cop? They just want to carry their gun. And so what you're now also drawing the conclusion to being is only cops should have guns. If citizens are out there carrying guns, they should be out there in areas where guns should be, where cops should be. So if you're going to carry a gun, you should be a cop. If you're a cop, you should be carrying a gun. It all comes together. You know, I have a very horrible revelation and truth to let out there. My father, and I'm about as conservative as conservative can get, my father, who raised me to be conservative, as he is age, he's now 73, has lost a number of his conservative principles. He actually said to me about 12, 15 years ago, he said the only people that should have guns are cops and the military. That's it. He says, if you want to hunt, fine. You keep your gun locked up at the police department. When you want to go hunting and you have your hunting license and, you know, that your date's pre-approved, you go down, pick up your unloaded hunting rifle or shotgun, only one. You're only going to take one gun with you. You take it out to the field. You hunt. As soon as you're done, you got to check your gun back in. My father actually told me this. And I looked at it and said, by what token do you imagine yourself free? Cops? The cops work for us. If we're unarmed, they control us. Look at all of the ass whippings that they deal out around the country on a regular basis just because they're in the mindset to, whether you actually deserve the ass beating or not. Now, this was my father. He's actually now gone through at least a little bit of gun training. Not that he's retained any of it, but I have to say, as much as I love my dad, that sort of mindset absolutely confuses me because never before had I heard my dad utter really a liberal word. Since then, he's uttered several other liberal statements, and I count them all together, repeat them to him in his own words, and ask him by what measure he considers himself having ever been conservative. He's not. He's a registered Democrat now. Imagine that. Okay, here is a story out of Kansas who sees things different than California. It says Kansas gun voting rights go to voters. Kansas gun and voting rights go to voters. It says gun rights and mental health advocates are leaving nothing to chance this fall as they push for passage of two amendments to the Kansas Constitution. One issue establishes that Kansans have an individual right to own a gun. The second removes language granting legislators the authority to deny voting rights to the mentally ill, though no laws currently exist. So they want to fix it, the problem before it happens. Preventative maintenance, if you will. On first blush, it would seem their concerns are unfounded, given that legislators have little trouble over the past 2 years in securing a spot for the measure, for the measures on the November 2nd ballot. But the advocates say they don't want voters to overlook either matter when they step forward to select from a state of a slate of candidates for statewide and congressional offices. Here's a quote: "I personally consider this a no-brainer." I so hate that term. Nobody seems to have a problem with this. That was from Patricia Stone King, president of the Kansas State Rifle Association. I hate the term no-brainer. It gripes my nerve. I don't know why. No brainer. Like, you can be as stupid as possible and still be able to figure this one out. No brainer. You don't have to think. Just autopilot. You know, you should think about everything. Pro or con, whatever you might feel. Anyhow, moving on. I digress. The gun issue can be traced to a 1905 Kansas Supreme Court ruling in the case of City of Salina versus Blaski. Pardon me. Blaskely, whatever. Where the justice upheld that a man convicted of possessing a firearm did not have the individual right to own a gun. The court ruled that the people's right to bear arms was a collective right. Only standing militias were entitled to have firearms and only to be used in defense of the state. 1905. Wow, really? But for generations, Kansans have owned rifles, shotguns, and handguns used for hunting and personal protection. In 2006, legislators overrode Governor Kathleen Sebelius' veto to make concealed carry legal. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled, in D.C. versus Heller, that the individuals have the right to bear arms, striking down a ban on handgun because the case was not viewed as far-reaching because of D.C.'s unique federal status. So, they had to go to the Chicago law. Chicago case. What is that? McDonald v. Chicago. That's right. Kansas legislators responded after the D.C. case by voting to put the fix to the state constitution to voters. So they get a vote exactly how they feel. Imagine that. Stone King said, the Rifle Association is putting out flyers and bumper stickers to let gun owners and other Kansans know about the ballot issue and drum up support. Good for you. In my mind, what this really is clean up work. It's making sure our Constitution is clear, according to Stone King. She said, Richard Levy, a professor at the University of Kansas, said he wasn't aware of a wave of state initiatives to challenge or change constitutions. He said, even if states lack specific constitutional guarantees to individual rights to keep and bear arms, a federal constitution does prevail. Stay tuned, guys. More to come after the break. If you live in a state which allows Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories, and you either have an interest in or already own Class 3 NFA items, the process for an individual to own these items includes photographs, fingerprints, obtaining a letter of permission from your police chief or sheriff, and a full personal background check which is spread across the whole federal system. Until now. Forming an NFA trust eliminates the requirements of letters of permission and all personal data and background checks in purchasing and possessing NFA firearms and accessories. NFA trusts offer a level of anonymity as well as flexibility in the purchasing, possessing, and storage of your Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories. To learn more about forming a secure and flexible NFA trust at a fraction of the cost from attorneys, visit www.billcarnes.com and click on the NFA tab. That's BILLCARNS.com and click on the NFA tab.
As long as politicians attack our rights, Bill will be fighting for them. Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
Back on!
And welcome back, guys. Thank you very much for being tuned in today. Again, I hope you enjoyed the show. I am off for the remainder of the week training at the Handgun Combat Master level with the master himself, Chuck Taylor, and several other good folks. Please go to ronintactical.com, R-O-N-I-N-tactical.com. Look up the website there. Kim, good friend of mine, excellent, excellent woman. I mean, just... a great find, a great, great friend, great person, excellent shooter, excellent tactician, qualified in edged weapons, knife, handgun, shotgun, rifle, submachine, just, she really rocks. Anyhow, good friend, good lady. Anyhow, she really has been the one behind all of us when we go train a couple times a year with, Chuck Taylor. So anyhow, that's where we'll be. Again, new content, I should say. Every day this week, so stay tuned in. I have brand new content pre-recorded on all the shows, so stay tuned for all of that. If you have any comments, you can certainly email me, bill@2aradio.com. I will still have email access. I'm not going to have my computer, but I'm going to have my trusty BlackBerry with me so I can interact with anybody, anything that needs to be done. All of the shows will be getting uploaded and handled each and every day, so... have no fear. You can go to 2aradio.com and still find your favorite show right here, 2A Radio. Everything's going to be uploaded and on there, all of the content. So please, just make sure everything you're tuned in for that. When it comes to any questions you have on guns, gear, techniques, tactics, blah, 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 anything like that that you'd like to know, you'd like me to bring up as a subject here on the radio show, that's really where to bring it up. Send me email, bill@2aradio.com. Because if I get people asking me questions there, then there's generally going to be by the rules of percentages, several other people out there who would find that information to be interesting as well. So I gauge a fair amount of what I do on the radio, a good percentage of what I do on the radio, based on questions that come off of listener email. So that's where to pose all those questions. That's where to put it. And that's where I appreciate you doing it. Again, I will be able to get those this week while I'm out. Stay tuned every day this week. You're still going to get brand new content right here. Same time, same place. Have no fret. Have no worries. When I'm back, let's see, this next Monday, which what is that date on that particular Monday as I check my calendar? That's going to be Monday the 11th. I will let you know how everything went this week while we're out training and shooting. And who knows, maybe somebody in the group passed a master's test by then under Chuck Taylor. We've already had one or two do it, so we're going to carry on and see if we can get more. So anyhow, again, folks, thanks for staying tuned in. You will, you know, you hear some brand new content again tomorrow. Thanks again. We'll be back tomorrow. I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you. Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule.
Thanks for tuning in. Bill will be back tomorrow. Now go side in and shoot straight. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes. Learn more about Bill at BillCarnes.com. Send your comments to Bill at 2aradio.com.